Welcome to the Under the Capes podcast, your geek business guide. I'm going under the capes of bloggers, cosplayers, gamers, and other entrepreneurs to learn how they've built a following around doing what they love. I'm your host, Tim Lutie, and today we're going under the cape of gray matter art. How's it going, entrepreneurs? Hope everyone had a great weekend and a great couple weekends, actually. It's been a couple weeks since I have posted an episode. I'm really sorry about that. November has been a very busy month, and coordinating with guests has gotten a little tricky this month, but I am moving forward. I'm really going to try to get one out once a week as promised. So for everyone anxiously awaiting the episode every week, I apologize for that, but I got a great episode to make up for it. This week is Mike and Jared from Gray Matter Art, and I first heard about them from Sully from the Nerd Foo. I ran into him at New York Comic Con this year at the Funko booth, and he mentioned, the couple really nice guys who were in the entertainment poster business, and he mentioned them as someone who really got the business side of creating a brand around something that you love, and mentioned that they'd be a good guest, and he was absolutely right. So Gray Matter Art was founded in 2013, and they're a limited edition studio licensed film and entertainment poster company, and they've got some amazing posters from Marvel, different horror movies, classic cult classic movies, and they work with some really awesome artists like Dave Perillo, Paolo Rivera, and Matt Ferguson. And in this episode, we talk about a lot of really cool stuff, how they've worked with studios to get the official licensing, how they coordinate with artists and come up with new ideas for different pieces, as well as their experience going and vending at New York Comic Con for the past 3 years. So really cool talk. Let's dive right in. All right. So I'm now joined by Mike and Jared from Gray Matter Art. Guys, thanks for joining me.
Hey, no problem.
Yeah, happy to be here. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, so can you tell me a little bit what your introduction was to the pop culture art community and how and why that became Gray Matter Art?
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of funny. Me and Jared are a big fan of music, and we went to a show in New York at Roseland Ballroom to see Primus, the band Primus, and they were doing these great gig posters there. And we saw this Dr. Seuss inspired piece, and we were blown away by it. It was our first introduction into the poster world, and we both bought one, and we were kind of just off to the races after that. We were collecting gig posters for a while, and then we'd start collecting film posters, and then finding out about all these new artists that were just doing some amazing things. Oh, by the way, that Primus poster was by Todd Slater, great, great, great artist. We were collecting for a few years after that, and started meeting some gallery people and other fans. And this was around the time when some fans were getting into doing commission groups. They were contacting their own artists and having their own posters made. Yeah, it was really cool. So we thought we would try something like that. And we started reaching out to a couple artists, and they were open to the idea. And after a while, though, we were like, why don't we try and do this legit, contact studios, get it licensed, go about it the right way, so to speak, like the official way. Not saying commission groups weren't the right way, but we wanted to do something a little more involved. And it really started to work out. The studios were very receptive of it. And and we kind of took it from there, and it's been going well ever since, really.
Awesome. Yeah, what are the commission groups? I'm not really familiar with that.
So, like, you know, a bunch of fans will get together, and they will probably agree on an artist and a title to work on. So say they wanted to, you know, do like some horror title or something. They'll have an artist of their choosing, and if they're open to the idea, they'll, you know, make a poster of however many people are in the group, say 20 or 30, whatever it is, however many people are involved in the group, and they'll have the artist make a poster for them. And, it's kind of cool because it makes it like very limited for them, you know, like edition size wise, which is kind of neat. So yeah, so and people are still doing them. I mean, there's some really cool stuff being done in commission groups right now too.
Cool. So I like that you've kind of taken that to it's a larger scale and more official, but it is still, you know, the things you put out are still really limited.
Yeah, our stuff is too. Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely an interesting thing. Yeah, and we just kind of wanted to take it a step further, you know, instead of just doing commission group type stuff.
So were you, did you already have relationships with a lot of artists just by buying art and being fans, or how did you start to build those relationships?
No, not really. When we were considering doing the commission group type stuff, that's just when we started emailing artists and reaching out to them. But when we started Gray Matter Art, the actual company, that's when we really started reaching out to more and getting them, getting them to be more interested in being involved with like licensed posters, like officially. And then we just started, like I said, like going from there and reaching out to more and more artists and, getting some really cool projects going.
Awesome. And then, yeah, I like that you took it to the next level with officially licensing it and going through the studios. What was that process like?
I'll jump in here on that one. Basically starting with our lawyer and then finding the right people to contact, talking with studios and different licensing agencies, and then going from there, identifying the properties, what's included, and then finding which artist best fits that property.
Awesome. And yeah, are there any tips for anyone else trying to go out and get those licensing agreements? Is there anything that the companies really want to hear or anything that might turn them off if you're going after that?
I think they kind of want to see a body of work that you have already, you know, the quality of work that you want to put out, kind of the artists that you're working with and where you're looking to go, you know, and it's also financial stuff too, how many posters you're going to make and what you're selling them for. You know, and the ability to reach different people and audience and also advertise their product and their, you know, brand as well.
Yeah, it sounds like you guys came in with a very clear plan and, you know, a very organized business model. So that's got to be attractive to them.
Yeah, you have to. You know, they want to see all the numbers first. They want to know exactly what your plan is for the year. You know, they want to know, you know, what you're making, how many you're making, who you're using, if, you know, who's going to be doing the poster. I mean, it's a lot
very
of work, but
process.
Yeah, it is very involved, but, it's worth it. In my opinion, it's been fun doing this. I mean, we started in 2013 in April. And I mean, it's been growing every year, you know, more people are finding out about us. We're working with more artists, you know, all the time. And, it's really been great. Really has been.
Awesome. And yeah, in that, you know, 4.5 years, you guys have grown really well. I mean, you've gotten to have a booth at New York Comic Con for a couple of years now, right?
Yeah.
3 years now. And then we were there the first year with Bottleneck Gallery.
Yeah, they were very nice to host us there for the first year, kind of get us involved and see what the undertaking is to, you know, vend a Comic-Con, because it's a big event. It really is. There's a lot that goes into, you know, exclusive posters and, you know, the crowds. And it is a lot, but it's definitely fun show to do.
Yeah. How was this year for you guys?
I would say it went extremely well. I mean, probably our best Comic-Con yet. the amount of exclusives we've had were phenomenal. Everyone seemed to react very, very well to them. You know, we just want to get bigger and better each year, I think, and hopefully even get a bigger booth, you know, with more exclusives, more artists, more in-person signings. You know, people really start to gravitate towards that.
Yeah, you mentioned the in-person signings. Was that one of the tactics that you used to draw people into the booth, or how did you promote it on site?
Yeah, I mean, so some of the artists, you know, because they're attending there too, it makes it pretty convenient. We had two signings this year, and it was actually our first time having artists come there and you know, meet the fans and, you know, sign their posters. We had Paolo Rivera, which is, he's just one of our favorite artists, great comic artist. He came and did a really cool piece for us. And then another artist that we worked with was Timothy Doyle, who's also great artist, great guy. And
both very well-known, very respected artists.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're, you know, they were nice enough to come to the booth and, you know, give their time up and sit at our table for a couple hours and meet some people, sign some posters. It was definitely fun, though, you know.
And yeah, you had a couple or a few exclusives there as well. What was the, you know, how did you decide on what exclusives you wanted to do and what else you wanted to bring?
You know, we have a lot of projects that we kind of have building over the course of the year, and then we'll kind of pick which ones we think are best for the fans, like ones that they will like the most. And then we'll just go from there, and there's basically a lot of time goes into the licensing, you know, the printing and making sure you have them in time and just making sure all the artwork's approved. So, yes, there's a lot that goes into it beforehand.
So were you able to kind of bring the ones that have been selling the best or the most popular ones, or did you try to bring it more new stuff? What was the split there?
Well, we always try and hold some things back from our website and bring them to the show of like older inventory. But as far as the exclusives go, you know, because it's a very big comic fan base, we try and made a lot of posters to, you know, reach out to, like, you know, the comic collectors. So we did Spider-Gwen and Ant-Man and
focus a lot on Marvel.
Yeah, a lot of Marvel stuff. You know, Paolo Rivera did this beautiful piece. It had so many characters, like just big comic Marvel comic characters.
Is that the Sinister Six one?
Sinister Sixteen. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was a little twist on the Sinister Six piece. But yeah, I mean, just great piece. And
Carnage and Venom set.
Yeah, Carnage and Venom set by Flory, another great artist that we love working with. I think we had a nice little amount of posters. I had, you know, everyone loved them. They really did.
Civil War by Tom Whalen.
Yeah, so really, yeah, another great artist.
Black Panther by Dave Barillo.
Yeah, so there were a lot of them, and they went over really well. Yeah.
So it seems like the conventions are a really great way to get the word out about Grey Matter. What else has been successful for you guys?
A lot of things. You know, over the years of making posters and stuff, there's been some companies that have reached out to us, like crate companies. So like Loot Crate, for example, reached out to us a couple of years ago to take some of the pre-existing posters that we've made and shrink them down and offer them in their crates. Like we do like a varying colorway. So we change like, you know, the colorway of a poster that we have already and make it like a variant as an exclusive poster in their crate as an insert. And, you know, they have a phenomenal
huge following.
Huge following. So to be included in that is really cool. And we did a few things with them. We did a t-shirt with them once that went into a crate, a really cool RoboCop by one of our like favorite artists, Gabs. His name is Gregor Zdomorodsky. If anyone doesn't know him, they should check him out because he's pretty serious. So crate companies like that have been great. We kind of wanted to dive into other licensing areas eventually, which I think would get our name out a little more. I think the comic conventions work really well for us. Our social media, you know, following is really big too. So that helps a lot too.
Yeah, because those two have to be the best way to really get the input from the fans. And
absolutely, yeah. They always tell us, you know, what they like and what they'd want to see next. We've done a poll for, I think we mentioned his name before, Flory. He does these really cool portrait pieces. So we asked fans what they might want to see next as far as, you know, what they'd like to see him take on as far as the next, like, comic character. And that was very positive. I think we'll do a couple more of those polls because people like to, you know, give their input on what they'd like to see. You know, the fan, like the poster collecting world is a very like tight knit community. You know, everyone's out for the same thing. You know, they want to collect. They want to, you know, show people what they got, the newest posters. I mean, you know, it's a real fun thing to be involved in.
Yeah, that's one of the things I always wonder, because there's so much out there that you could create and you could feature, and trying to decide on the, you know, the few things that you're going to develop over the year, it's got to be quite the challenge.
Yeah, it really is. It's fun, but it's a lot of work. But yeah, absolutely. You know, you always want to see what's going to be released, you know, what great comics are going to be out there, what's going to be, you know, released for the year theatrically. You just kind of go by what's trending and what people want to check out next. And, you know, what artists people like too. I mean, there's so many great artists out there right now.
Anniversary coming up.
Yeah, that too. People love anniversaries, which is always fun. It's definitely grown. From what I've seen in, you know, what past decade has been crazy. Like, it's just getting
every year just gets bigger.
Yeah, it really does. So it's a good time to be in the poster collecting world. It really is.
Yeah, and how far are you looking ahead, like you mentioned, into the, you know, comic events and movies and stuff? How far out do you try to plan things?
Well, into next year. I mean, we have a grasp on a lot of things that are being released, when we can release them. We have a few really, really solid releases that we are going to be releasing early in January and February of next year as well. And, you know, we'll continue to have more stuff up until the new year. So, you know, I think we have a pretty solid slate. We're going to have a pretty diverse lineup as well. Some new artists and maybe some new properties too that we haven't delved into yet. So, you know, I think it'll be interesting to see people's reactions. And, you know, we're really, really confident that people will actually really, you know, love the pieces that we're going to be putting out.
And yeah, one of the other things that I really loved about your business is, and I think you mentioned it on your site, is you're really looking at the techniques that other companies have made successful, maybe even, you know, companies that aren't in the art business, and bringing those into your business. So what kind of, can you give me a few examples of that, or lessons or techniques you've drawn from other businesses?
I mean, you always, I think the fans are like the most important. Like, everyone wants to know, you know, get input from their customers. And, you know, I think that's a big thing. Another thing is really working with the artists too, and see how they approach a project, and, kind of take it from there. You take little bits and pieces from everything and, you know, incorporate it into your model. And of course it helps, you know, if a company is working with an artist that we've haven't heard of yet, and they do really interesting things, well, you know, we might approach that artist and see if he's interested in working together. Cause that's the game, right? You always want to find, the next, real talented guy to work with, and, you know, they just do amazing things. So I think that's important, you know, just see what works and use that to your best ability. I think.
Yeah. And I mean, you mentioned working with a lot of different artists. Is there any struggle with the different styles of how people work that you've kind of had to adapt to them? Or do you try to help everyone fit into you know, a similar model? What's it been like organizing things that way?
Yeah, you know, every project starts differently. Every artist works differently. And, you know, we always try and give them, you know, like free range to do whatever they want to do, you know, and we'll work it from there. If, you know, sometimes working with studios can be a little finicky with approvals and stuff like that. And, you know, sometimes you got to fight back and back the artist as best you can and really let them do what they want to do. And I think that's important, like really important. You know, you don't want to just be like a yes man and just say, okay, you know, we'll tell him to do this and we'll tell. No, like you can't make a good piece like that. You just can't.
And that shows in the artwork too.
It really does though. You know, you can tell if something's phoned in or not. And I think it's real important to back the artist and back the project to the best, you know, your best ability. If you think something isn't going to work or something, you know, usually it has to do with approvals, but I think, yeah, every project is different and, you know, you got to take it, you know, how it comes, but definitely backing the artist is the best, bet, I think, you know, you want them to make, you know, their, you know, you want to see their vision, you know, come out in the piece. You really do.
Yeah. That's the other thing that's always been interesting to me is, you know, you mentioned going with the input of the artist, but you're also taking in all this other input from your fans, from maybe future trends, probably from the companies that you're licensing with. As like you mentioned, there might be some conflicts or whatever. So how do you, you know, are you saying we really want to do a Spider-Gwen and then you go find an artist who might be interested in it? Or are you asking the artist what would you like to do and then seeing where it fits in with your plan? How do you coordinate that?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. You know, if say we'll reach out to an artist, we'll give them a list, just like a slew of titles, characters, you know, that we have rights with, and see if anything seems interesting to them, you know. And of course we always ask, you know, what would you like to do? And if it's something that we can acquire, you know, the rights for, like, we'll of course try, you know, that's that you always want to make sure that, you know, you're getting them to do something that they want to do and that they're looking for. That's the best, you know, that's when the best posters come, you know, come in, are made. It's just, yeah, you want to, you know, you don't want to just throw something at them and be like, can you do this? You know, you want to make sure that they're doing something they want to do.
Yeah, you don't want to say, you know.
Yeah, well, they probably wouldn't do it anyway.
That we need him, yeah, they sitting on the back of a train.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, we try and give them a wide, you know, range of things to choose from. And like I said, if there isn't something that we have, we will try and get it for them if we can.
Awesome. So yeah, it seems like you're definitely trying to accommodate the artists, and that kind of creates the best work.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Sometimes they'll approach us with concepts too, mm-hmm. you know, and we think it's a great one. We'll just go with it. And, you know, we'll just say, you know, we back you. And then, you know, it speaks for itself with the artwork.
So yeah, moving forward, where do you see Gray Matter Art going in the future?
I think we just want to keep growing and expanding. You know, maybe we'll go into some different areas of licensing eventually. I think some of the things we're looking at could be pins, as well as maybe some vinyls and some toys in the future. I think also we'd, you know, like to do some gallery shows and bring some artists together, or maybe just find some interesting concepts that work.
Yeah, galleries I would love to get into. I think that's a really fun thing to do. And we have yet to do one, but you never know what the future might hold. I think galleries would be a real fun thing to take on. And like Jared said, yeah, just growing is, you know, that's the name of the game, you know,
like, maybe hitting up some different areas of the country, doing some different conventions.
Yeah. We would love to get into, San Diego Comic-Con. That would be
that's
fun.
Definitely a big goal, you know, for sure.
Absolutely. Maybe even some international stuff too, yeah, would be cool be really if that's great. Ever possible, you know, down the road. you know, San Diego Comic-Con, so booked up, though. It's
we've, a tough one.
We've been on, like, a waiting list for, God, what, like 3.5, 4 years. Yeah, and
I think they're turning away people they even have currently.
Right, yeah. So that's a tricky one. I mean, even to get into New York Comic-Con, like, that's not easy anymore. No. So I think we got in at a good time. But, yeah, definitely trying to take on more areas, get out a little further than, you know, the tri-state. Yeah, definitely. Growing is what we want to do. Absolutely.
Yeah, I was going to say, you guys actually are in kind of the perfect area for, you know, for doing those gallery shows and for you know, finding artists. But I guess eventually going out to other places is a necessity.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, you want to get out, you know, I mean, a lot of stuff's going on, you know, Austin and California. So I like being in New York. It's cool. But getting out to, another, you know, a wider audience and letting them, you know, meet us in person and, you know, talk to fans on the West Coast would be great. You know, we would love to do that.
Yeah. Have you gone out to any of the other cons like San Diego just as, like fans, just to kind of get an idea of, you know, spread the word that way? Or
I've gone to a lot of different conventions across the country, but I haven't been out to San Diego yet, but it's definitely on the bucket list for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, going as exhibitors would definitely be the top.
Yeah. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, as soon as they're open, we're going, so it's all on them. We contact them every year, so as soon as they say yes, we're off.
Yeah, I guess that's what it takes. You just got to keep going at it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. This has been great, guys. Do you have one piece of advice for someone just starting out trying to build their own geek brand?
I think just make sure you're passionate about what you're doing. And then I think the rest of it will work out. You know, just have that passion, have that fire. And then, you know, you'll have that with you carried throughout your business and it will be represented in, you know, in your output. And I think people will really respect that and gravitate towards that.
Yeah, it definitely shows when you care about what you do. And, you know, and it does take time, too. You know, nothing happens overnight. So, you know, you take your time and do what you can as best you can. I know it sounds kind of cliche, but it's true. It is true. You know, you definitely got to love what you do and just keep going with it.
Yeah, I think that passion is definitely the key to drive through that. Like you said, it takes a long time. So if you're not passionate, you're not going to dig in and
not at all
get through that.
Yeah, eventually it'll just feel like work and you're like, you know, and that's not why we do it. You know, we do it cuz we love it and that's why we've been doing it
exactly
for this long, and that's why we're going to continue to do it too, cuz it's where we want to be right now. And it's a good time to be where we are too. I mean, I just think it keeps growing every year. So, you know, we're in a good place at a good time for poster collecting, art. You know.
Yeah, you mentioned that earlier that the poster community is a really great time to be in it. Why do you think that is? Is it just kind of the overall pop culture growth lately, or?
Yeah, you know, I think there's that nostalgia right now for, you know, people our age. You know, they're all kind of grown up now, and these, you know, for the older stuff, you know, like the 80s films and, you know, the horror stuff, you know, everyone's kind of you know, they're, I don't know, they can just what's the word I'm looking for, you know, I don't know. I'm at a loss for word, but you know, there's just a lot of stuff that they were into when they were kids, and now they can buy, throw on their wall, you know, buy for their kid, put it on their wall. You know, it's
just nostalgic to them,
right? Exactly. So that's I think that's one piece of it, and there's so much good art out there right now for people to find. That's, you know, that's why I think it's so big. And it just keeps getting bigger.
I think, yeah, everyone just keeps wanting to see different takes on different, you know, different movies or even the same movies.
Right.
You know, like, yep. we have a lot of different Spider-Man pieces, and each one of them is different, and there's a different take on it. And, you know, each one is interesting in its own way and attracts different people just because they like that certain artist.
Right. Yeah. I think artist has a big thing to do with it. Like, you know, you've seen, like you said, the same titles being done over and over again, but I don't think that really gets old. Some people do. I don't think it does. I think it's really the artist that makes it their own, that makes it so interesting. And that's why it'll keep getting done and keep getting done, and it'll still be good.
Yeah. And it's, I don't know if it's the age that I've reached or, you know, just the fact that things have, you know, people are getting more nostalgic in general, but it definitely feels like this is the time where it's more people are representing what they love and looking for new ways to show it. So
yeah,
definitely a great time to be in the art business, and you guys seem to be doing an awesome job at it.
Oh, well, thank you, man. Yeah, it's definitely fun. You know, we love what we do, so it's great.
Awesome. Well, yeah, guys, thanks so much for coming on. Where can people go and learn more about you and check out some of the art you guys have?
The best place to go is probably our website, graymatterart.com, or, you know, check us out on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, graymatterart on there as well.
Awesome. Well, all right. Yeah, guys, thanks so much.
No, thank you. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
There you have it, guys. Mike and Jared from Gray Matter Art. Really, really cool interview with them. One of the things I really liked that they talked about was how they come up with ideas for the different pieces that they want to feature as posters. They mentioned a few different ways they poll their audience on social media and in other ways to find out, you know, what they might be interested in. They look for new trends in the industry, you know, as far as new movies coming out, new comic books, new anniversaries, events, everything like that. And they work with their artists to see, you know, what they might be interested in coming out with. And I think that's a great lesson for artists looking for new things to, you know, decide what art might be able to sell. And it's also good advice for anyone creating a geek brand, because whether it's, you know, blogging or podcasting or creating videos, whatever you do, you want to have that good mix of something that really interests you, also something that's going to really interest your audience. And, you know, finding that right thing and that right balance of your interests and the interests kind of defined by the market is something that I think a lot of people have touched on in the past. I know I talked about this with Make 'em Laugh Films, who does parody videos, which definitely takes some time to produce. So you want to be planning those out. That I think they were on episode 21 in September, and they were already planning out their Thor Ragnarok and their Justice League parodies. And I also talked to Garrick Backer all the way back in episode two, and he prop and costume maker, and he talked again about that idea of, you know, trying to come up with things that will sell, but also just, you know, going with what interests him and having the right mix of that. So definitely something any business can learn from, and hopefully you guys learned something from my talk with Mike and Jared. All the links to everything will be in the show notes at underthecapes.com/episode27. And I really recommend you guys go and follow Gray Matter Art at graymatterart.com, on Twitter at Gray Matter Art, on Instagram at Gray Matter Art, Facebook at Gray Matter Art LLC. And definitely follow them on social this week. They've been teasing their mystery tubes that they're going to be selling on Black Friday, which, yeah, they've been putting out, you know, poster signed by Stan Lee, like all kinds of awesome posters, awesome signed posters that they're going to be stuffing in those mystery tubes. And they've been putting details about that on their social media all week. So definitely check that out. And check out the other pieces they have on their site. And in my own entrepreneur journey, that idea of coming up with topics is something that I've been toying with for a little while. So I, you know, up until this point, we've had one guest on a week and done things that way. And I mean, I've done a couple of episodes specific to conventions like San Diego Comic-Con, New York Comic-Con, Boston Comic-Con. So I'm thinking in the future of experimenting a little bit with different topics for episodes. So, you know, San Diego Comic-Con just opened up their registration for press for this, for the 2018 year. So an episode with a panel of people who've been press in the past, if that's something that would interest you, about learning how to apply for press and hopefully maximize your chances. And other topics similar to that, you know, where we cover a specific problem or a specific topic in the entrepreneur space and try to deep dive a little bit further into that. So taking Mike and Jared's advice, I'd love some input from the audience. So if you guys have, I'd love to hear what you think about that idea. I'd love to hear any other ideas you might have for different topics that you think I should cover, different routes you think the podcast should take. I'd really appreciate any feedback. You can reach out to me on Twitter at Under the Capes, on Instagram at Under the Capes Podcast, and on Facebook at Under the Capes. And if you like the show, I'd really appreciate a rating and a review on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever else you happen to be listening from to help others find the show. And I really appreciate you sticking with it this long and giving this one a listen. So thank you so much, and I will talk to you soon. Thanks.